Okay, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining me in this learning opportunity. I want to acknowledge and thank our friends at the Mizrahi World Movement for putting this opportunity and so many others together, a robust online based medrash that they've created with back-to-back shiurim. I know that I'm excited, I'm honored to be participating, but I'm excited at the opportunity to learn from some of our greatest teachers and educators today. So thank you so much, my dear friend Rabbi Tarrigan, for hosting, recruiting, and Mizrahi. We are going to cover tonight, in our time together, I think a fascinating topic. It's a fascinating topic in any given year. It's a particularly fascinating topic this year. It's interesting, we hosted a rabbinic conference in Boca just a few weeks ago, maybe a little over a month ago. Yeshiva University has a Yarchei Kala with Rabbi J.J. Schachter, and we've been privileged to host it in Boca for several years in a row. And when we got together just maybe 6 weeks ago, the rabbis there were talking about what the theme of their Shabbos HaGadol Drasha might be. What was on everyone's mind? What does Pesach really speak to, and how does it resonate with us this year? And what was amazing is at the time, coronavirus was a word many of us didn't know. Certainly it wasn't as fluid on our lips. We weren't afraid of it. We weren't taking precautions from it. And back then, just as recently, literally as 6 weeks ago, what everyone was talking about was the danger, the threat of anti-Semitism. This growth of this evil, wicked, pernicious, nefarious force in our time, a anti-Semitism that takes on different forms, a political anti-Semitism and a social anti-Semitism, a religious anti-Semitism, different groups for different reasons, which itself is the greatest revelation that anti-Semitism is illogical. It makes no sense. The fact that there is no binding, unifying theme to the profile of the anti-Semite, nor the argument of their anti-Semitism, tells us how absolutely and utterly illogical it is. So just a short time ago, if you would have asked us, what is on our mind as we're going into Pesach this year? Rabbis, what do we think our congregants, our members want to hear about? In what area can we give chizuk, can we give strength? What might be the topics of Shabbos HaGadol Drashas? It was anti-Semitism. And yet, fast forward the clock, and here we sit, not in person, not a luxury that we've taken for granted, certainly in my lifetime, of being able to gather in person and share Torah and share inspiration and daven. But here we have to be doing this over, it's a gift and a blessing, but the platform of technology. We can't be together. And so the biggest immediate threat in our time, it's a threat who seems that we've not yet peaked here in America, just in Boca Raton, literally a short while ago, the city announced that effective shortly, the Boca Raton is under emergency status. You're not allowed to leave your home other than for essential. There's essentially a curfew, and they'll be monitoring, and a person has to be in their home. So again, in my lifetime, I don't remember such a threat. This is not a threat of a people. It's a threat of a force of nature, of a virus. And all of us, who does not seek protection from it? Who is so confident? Who is so cocky? Who is so arrogant to think that they're not vulnerable to it? Unfortunately, too many people, but it's foolish. It's a mistake. We shouldn't be. If you're alive, if you're breathing, if you're existing in the world today, we're all vulnerable. We're all susceptible. And all any of us want for ourselves, for our family, for our dear community, for our people, for all of humanity, all we want is protection. All we want is a sense of shmira, some confidence that we will wake up tomorrow, that we can breathe easily, that our temperature will be what it's meant to be and it's supposed to be. We seek and we yearn for Shemira. Well, we're coming to the holiday very shortly, too shortly, which is in fact identified and characterized as a holiday of Shemira. I'll share these sources later in a source book. For now, please, you'll have to bear with me. As I share them, I'll translate everything. But in Shemos Perek Yud Beis, in Shemos chapter 12, verse 42, the pasuk tells us, "Leil Shimurim hu LaShem lahutziyam me'eretz Mitzrayim hu alayla hazel LaShem Shimurim l'chol bnei Yisrael adorosam." The Torah describes Pesach night, Seder night, that we're counting down, we're anticipating, we're so excited. We won't necessarily be surrounded by the usual family and friends, by hosting the usual guests, but it's our responsibility nonetheless to create an energy, a joy, an experience of freedom and liberty, for Pesach to be able to lift us out of the doldrums and out of the place that we are. And the Torah promises us, how can we do that? Right now, there's such sadness, despondency, despair, hopelessness. When will this end? Will the economy recover? Who will be struck next? But we wait for the Leil HaSeder. The Leil HaSeder is a night of faith. It's a night of redemption. It's a night of restored hope, faith, optimism, and confidence. And where does that draw from? Where does that come from? So the Torah tells us it has a designation, it has a name. It's a Lel Shimurim Hu Lashem. It is a night of keeping for Hashem to take us out of the land of Egypt. It is this night unto Hashem, the guardings for the children of Israel for their generations. And what I want to spend our time on tonight is exploring this concept. What does this mean? In a time that not only are we afraid of anti-Semitism, who, by the way, have taken no break. An article appeared just today about a prominent pastor who, the headline of the article and the video of him saying it, a pastor whose credentials to the White House administration should immediately be rescinded, has no place ever entering that building again, but who blames the spread of coronavirus, of COVID in synagogues, on the Jewish rejection of Jesus. Every year, Pesach, without fail, anti-Semites rear their ugly heads and somehow connect a plague, a virus, a makkah, a magefa, on the Jewish people, and this year is no exception. This individual should merely be rejected and condemned by any good people, by the president, the administration, who mistakenly have hosted him before. So it's a Lel Shimurim in this year that we want protection from anti-Semites, protection from a pernicious virus that threatens us. We have this night, which is called and characterized Lel Shimurim. It is a night of safeguarding, of safekeeping. But what does that mean? That's what I want to explore with you. So Rashi tells us there on Shemos Perek Yud Beis, Lel Shimurim, Shaya Kodesh Baruch Hu Shomer Umetzapelo. It is a night that God was guarding, was waiting for, was anticipating. L'kayim haftachaso lo'tzio me'eretz Mitzrayim. You see, back in the Bris Ben Abisarim, all the way back to when God established a covenant with our forefather Avraham, when a promise and a covenant were made, God said, you will descend to Egypt and you will be oppressed and persecuted, but have no fear, I will redeem you, I will guard you, I will take you out, I will liberate you, and I will craft a bigger and brighter future. This night, Seder night, Pesach night, is the fulfillment of that promise. And what it means, Lel Shimurim, is that God was holding on to. He never forgot, he never neglected that promise. He knew that he had an obligation, a responsibility, a covenant with us. And so in this year that we're so afraid, anti-Semites blaming us for a plague, the virus itself that seems not to discriminate, it doesn't care what party you're a member of, it doesn't care what denomination in Judaism you belong to, it doesn't care what you wear on your head, how you daven, it's equally trying to attack us all, and we're desperate for shmirah, a sense of safeguarding. It's on Seder night. Hashem, God, the Almighty Himself, designated that night as a night of divine protection. It protects us, says Rashi, somewhat presciently. Shimurim l'chol b'nei Yisrael dorosam, not just in that year. It wasn't just for the generation that left Egypt. Seder night is not just an auspicious designated night, a night of safeguarding and safekeeping, a night of faith, optimism, and hope. It wasn't just for then generations ago. L'dorosam. It's in every generation right now. We're so desperate for this message. Right now, we so need to tap into this idea. Says Rashi, Meshumar ubam en amazikim. It is guarded that night and onward, mina mazikim, from harmful spirits. It's guarding us from viruses. It's guarding us from enemies. It's guarding us from influences. It's guarding us from anti-Semites. That's the explanation of Rashi. I want to share with you a few more, and I want to share with you how it comes halacha lemaisa. In Jewish practice, the fact that Pesach night, the Seder night, is designated as a night of safeguarding and safekeeping has practical implications from us halachically. And then I want to come back to, at the end, what it can do for us this year. How it can give us a sense of confidence, hope, and optimism that even though we're going through a very challenging time, but nevertheless, we will persevere, we will endure, we will come out stronger than ever. Our ancestors went through even more difficult times, and yet they never gave up, they never paused or hesitated, they never lost their faith, or we would not be here today. We need to tap into that same reservoir of courage, of strength, and of support. The Sforno, Rav Ovadia Sforno, a great Italian medieval commentator, writes, what does it mean it was designated as a night of safeguarding? Why didn't God take us out earlier? 210 years in Egypt? What do you mean he was waiting to fulfill his promise? What do you mean he was holding on to make good on his commitment? Says the Sforno, we weren't ready. We weren't worthy. We didn't deserve. You know, it's easy to point fingers as God as you're going through a hard time and say, where is he? and why. But sometimes, you know, when you point a finger at someone, you point three fingers back at yourself. And when you point a finger at God, there are three pointing back at you. And in a moment like this, it's not productive, it's not fruitful to spend time asking why, but it's much more fruitful and productive not asking lama, but lama. For what? What are we meant to learn from it? How are we meant to grow from it? How are we meant to change as a result of it? In those days, the people didn't earn, they weren't worthy of being redeemed until that night, the night that God designated. We need to earn our worthiness. We need to not point a finger at others, but realize the three that point back to us. What can we change? How can we improve? How can we be better? How can we be better versions of ourselves? The Rashbam of Shmuel ben Meir, Rashi's grandson, writes, "Uli Yisrael hu leil shemurim ledorosam lechol dorosam shematzapim lezeh alayla lachok bochaga Pesach u'mishpatov." God is waiting for us. Our reunion will come Pesach night. Of course, He hears us every day. We daven, whether in shul or whether we're home in the backyard or wherever we might find ourselves being restricted to. Of course we can daven every day, but Hashem is waiting for us just like we are counting down longing and anticipating being with Him on Seder night. The Balaturim of Yaakov ben Asher writes, Leil Shimurim is in the plural. Why the plural? A night of guardings. Shechilak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Leil Tezvav L'Shnayim, because Seder night, Passover night, God divided in two. Chetzo L'Tzias Mitzrayim, Chetzo HaSheni L'Geula L'Asid Lavo. When we experience, when we celebrate Pesach night, we're celebrating the past, but with an eye very much to the future. We are recalling and we are reliving a historical event. It reveals for us the energy, and it reveals for us the possibility of freedom and liberty, but it also instills within us, again, a confidence that just as He redeemed us in the past, so too He will redeem us in the future. At the Seder night, we say a challah, which is broken up into two. The first half of challah corresponds with our gratitude for what was. And the second half of the Hallel, when we resume the Seder after the meal, it corresponds with our hope for what will be. That God, we're going through a difficult time. We've been through difficult times. But don't give up on us, because we never give up on You. We know we will come through on the other end and the other side. And El Shemurim, Pesach night, gives us that energy, that courage, that strength to know, in the plural, just like we were redeemed in the past, so too we'll be redeemed in the future. Rav Volba has a magnificent idea. You know, every time we daven, we're somech geula l'tefillah. We say the bracha, the blessing, Ga'al Yisrael, God, You are the Redeemer of Israel, right before we take our three steps forward and begin our Amida, our Shmona Esrei. And the Gemara makes a promise that a person who somech, the person who recites the blessing that God is the Redeemer of Israel, adjacent, immediately, right next to beginning the Amida, is made a promise of great blessing. Why? Big deal. You followed the sitter? You read the order the way it appears? What is the big deal? And what merit do you get these promises? And Rav Volba says the following. What it means is, if you want to position yourself to have the most genuine, the most authentic, the most heartfelt Amida, the most heartfelt prayer, first say the blessing that reminds you that God was the Redeemer of Israel. Because whatever predicament you're in right now, whatever precarious position you're facing right now, you say, well, why should I turn to God? Why should I believe He's going to protect me, my family? Why should I think that He can turn things around? Why should I think He can purge the world of this horrific virus? Why Him? The answer is, look to the past. And when we acknowledge and see the miracles that have happened previously, they remind us that He is the one that we should be turning to right now. Rav Yaakov Emden writes in his Siddur, the great Rav Yaakov Emden writes something astonishing. He says, you know, the miracles that have happened in modern times, since the close of our sacred Chumash, since Tanakh, the close of the Bible, since the close of the Talmud, you talk about the Crusades and the Inquisition and the Holocaust. Of course, he lived before the Holocaust. He writes, the miracle of our survival far surpasses any miracles that came before. It's a miracle. God has carried us through even more difficult situations, and He'll carry us through this one too. And that's our faith on Seder night. Leil Shimurim in the plural, that He protected and guarded us previously, and He will do so again going forward in the future. The Rashbam says, what does it mean, Shimurim? Lashon Hamtana, Va'aviv Shamar Es Hadavar. It means when Yosef disappears, the brothers throw him in a pit, and Yaakov is inconsolable. He refuses to be comforted. He won't give up on his precious dear son Yosef. The verse, the Pasuk says, Va'aviv Shamar Es Hadavar, that Yaakov guarded the matter. He was longing with hope and anticipation. The Oiv Yisrael, the Apta Rebbe, Rav Avram Yeshua Heschel, writes that that's what it means to be a Shomer Shabbos. Tomorrow is Shabbos, I'm counting down. I never appreciated Shabbos in my entire life as much as I do now, as much as I do to disconnect from reality, from news, from pessimism, and to connect to what matters, again, our faith. So what does it mean to be a Shomer Shabbos? Says the Apta Rav, to be a Shomer Shabbos doesn't mean to observe Shabbos on Shabbos. To be a Shomer Shabbos means to anticipate, to count down, to long, to look for. Just like Ve'aviv Shamar Sadavar, just like Yaakov longed, anticipated, hoped towards when he'd be reunited with Yosef, so too we long, we hope, we look to when we'll be reunited with Shabbos. Similarly, that's what it means, Leil Shimurim, says the Rashbam. Leil Shimurim means that a language of waiting. Of waiting. God waited to take us out until that night, and we wait patiently for Pesach to come to be able to find that energy. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh, listen to this fascinating historical note. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rav Chaim ibn Attar, he says, this pasuk, Leil Shimurim, the description of Seder night as a night of safeguarding, a night of watching, a night of protection. He says there were five miracles that happened on this night. You ready? Number one, Bimei Avram Keshikas Arba Malachim Yichalik Aleim Laila. When Avram, the war of the four and the five kings, and Avram was recruited, our ancestor, to fight, and Avram was victorious, that miracle happened when? Seder night. Number two, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the exodus from Egypt, Vahi B'chatzi Alayla, we know the exodus was launched, it was initiated, it began, Seder night. Number three, B'mechizkia, Keshihika Gavriel, Machan Esancheirev, when in the time of Chizkia, we persevered over Sancheirev, miracle number three. Number four, in the time of Mordechai v'Esther, we just celebrated the holiday of Purim. Do you know when it was? Nadadosh Nas HaMelech. When did Achashverosh fall asleep? I'm sorry, when did he not fall asleep? When did Achashverosh have insomnia and he remembered the time that he had been saved and he wondered whether he had rewarded the one who saved him? You know what night that was on our calendar? Seder night. And lastly, number five, says the Or HaChaim, you know what it was? It hasn't happened yet. Hagu'ula ha'asida. That redemption, the next redemption, the final redemption will take place when? Seder night. That's what it means, Leil Shimurim. Hashem has been protecting it. He's been holding on to it. He's watching over it because He's going to provide us a redemption. He's going to protect us. We are going to triumph and defeat our enemies, be they our physical adversaries or be they the pernicious viruses, the invisible enemies that seek our demise. We have to put our trust and faith in Hashem, of course in the guidelines, of course in the precautions, of course taking the initiative, just like when the Jewish people left Egypt and they were stuck between the, not proverbial, but the literal sea and the Egyptians, and they start davening. And God says, that's nice you're saying Tehillim. I love all the Zoom Tehillim groups, says God. I love all the Zoom Shiurim, says God. But how about disconnect, turn them off, and start walking. You got to take your initiative. So we take our initiatives and our precautions. We practice our distancing and our quarantining. We wash our hands. We're doing everything we need to. But once we've done it, we need to realize, to put our faith and hope, our optimism in Hashem. He's done it before. He'll do it again. He can and He will turn things around. And we say so much about ourselves by the faith we have in Him in these moments. Not asking Lama why He's brought this on us, but Lama, for what? How are we meant to grow? How are we meant to change? How are we meant to be different as a result? Do you know that that's what's possible Seder night? Rav Avram Shor, in his Lekech V'Halibov, he says the most amazing thing. He says we have a tradition that we don't only ask, Ma Nishtana Halayla Hazeh? Why is tonight different than all other nights? But we ask, Ma Nishtana Al Yidei Halayla Hazeh? How will things be different after tonight? How will I have renewed my faith, my hope, my optimism, my commitment to the covenantal community? How will I be part of a Jewish people and a nation and our destiny? How will Pesach change me? How will it change me? Not as a shmata because I did spring cleaning instead of cleaning for Pesach. Not as a shmata because I went overboard from what I needed to prepare for the Seder. But spiritually, emotionally, with my family, restoring and resetting my values and priorities. Manashtana al yedei halayla hazeh. What will be different? Because of the power that is implicit and inherent in this night. There's an incredible power. We have to tap into it. There were five miracles that happened this night. Four of them we identify in history. The fifth hasn't been written. The fifth hasn't happened. And only with our merit and our worthiness will we merit to be able to welcome it. So there are a number of practical halachas I mentioned. We'll go through this quickly. There are practical differences that come out from the fact that Pesach night, Seder night, is a significant, meaningful night, a reservoir of energy, of hope, optimism, and therefore we change some of our behaviors. The Gemara says in Pesachim on Daf Kuf Tes, V'lo yifchilu shulam arba kosos. We know that we drink four cups of wine at Seder night. Tosfos there in Arvei Pesachim brings several reasons why. The most famous among them, of course, is the four cups of wine correspond with You're on mute. None of you can hear me on the several platforms that we're dealing. Sorry, I keep looking back and forth. But if you could, you would answer, what do the four cups of wine correspond with? The four languages of Geula. Not the four steps of Geula, the four languages. There are four descriptions, four angles, four redemptions that we go through in a journey and a process that unfolds. So the Gemara wonders, how could they establish and ordain four cups? The four cups of wine are rabbinic in origin. They're not biblical. They were rabbinically mandated. So wonders the Gemara, how could the rabbis suggest, how could they obligate us to drink four cups of wine? We have a tradition. We don't do things in twos. Why not? There's a concept. There was a religion called dualism. And we don't believe in the danger of it, of the notion that in dualism, the idea of zugos, that things that come in twos and pairs pose some spiritual danger. I'm not old enough, smart enough, though my beard is gray enough, I don't fully understand. But it means that we don't do things in twos, we do things in an odd number rather than an even. So the Gemara wonders, so how could the rabbi say drink four cups of wine when we're supposed to avoid things in pairs, things in the even numbers? Answers the Gemara, you know why? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Kra? Leil Shimurim. It's a night of divine protection. And therefore, the things that normally we are exposed to, vulnerable to, at risk from, on that night, we are safe from. Shibole Aleket. Shibole Aleket, one of the great Rishonim, Source 13, one of the Italian Rishonim. He has an amazing comment, Source 13. You don't even have the source sheets in front of you. But in my sheets, it's Source 13. In his Seder Pesach, Simon Reish Yud Ches, he says the following. We say the paragraph of Halach Ma'anya, and we say it in what language? In Aramaic. Why don't we say it in Hebrew? The whole Haggadah is in Hebrew. Why are we saying it in Aramaic? And he says, you know why? We are confusing the Mazikim. The negative spirits, the dangerous energies that are around us, they only speak Hebrew, they don't understand Aramaic. If they would hear us invite those who have nothing to eat to our homes, they would interfere, they would block, they would stop it. So therefore, we specifically say it in the language they won't understand. I wonders the Shibole Aleket, why are you worried about their blocking it? He says, Hiksha harekvar nemar leil shimurim laila mashumim anazikim. We don't have to worry about that night. So you see that even in the language that we employ comes in this variable, this question of leil shimurim. I'll tell you a practical difference that applies to every one of us. When we go to sleep at night, you know, sleep is a portion of death. Sleep is very vulnerable. The body even goes into a rhythm that imitates the beginning, the precursor to death itself. And so sleep is very dangerous. Every time we wake up from our sleep, we're so grateful, the miracle that we woke up. We say, in fact, a prayer, a language. We thank God for the fact that we woke up. So one of the things we do in order to hope that we have a night that we are protected, we say Kriya Shema Lamita. We say Shema at night with some of the prayers that go around it. So do you have to say those prayers on Pesach night? The Shulchan Aruch Simen, Or HaChaim Simen Tov Pei Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Noagin shelo likros amitasa rak parsha shema v'lo shar dvarim shekorim b'shar leilos kedei lahagim ki leil shimurim hu min hamazikin. Do you know that on Pesach night you only have to read Shema? All the other prayers that come after it, the heebie-jeebie stuff, the stuff to protect us from the negative spirits and the negative energies, they can't touch us on Pesach night. Why? It's a leil shimurim. It's a night of divine protection, and therefore you do not need to recite it on that night. The Sefer Minhag Yisrael Torah quotes that if you live in Chutz La'aretz and you observe two nights of Seder, then this is true not only the first night, it's true the second night as well. You only say the paragraph of Shema, you do not need to say the rest of Kriya Shema al Hamita. I'll give you another example. It doesn't apply this year, but sometimes Pesach falls out on the same night as Friday night. Friday night we have halacha. This is practical for us right now. But the halacha is, the Gemara tells us that there were individuals who came late to shul, and if we would leave them davening because they were still catching up, they would walk home alone, they'd be vulnerable, they could be attacked. And therefore, we added what we call the bracha me'ein sheva. We add the magen avos after davening, vayichulu magen avos. Why do we say that? To buy them some time to catch up so we can all walk home together, keep everybody safe and sound. When you're in fact not davening at shul, you don't say it. So during these very unfortunate times, while we are davening in our homes on Friday night, tomorrow night, we'll say the Amida and vayichulu, and then go right to Aleinu. You don't say it, because there's no one to delay for. There's no one we're buying time for. The question is, when shul is functional and active, when we are all together, but if Pesach falls out, Seder night falls out on a Friday night, do you have to say this or not? So the Torah quotes in Siman Tov Pei Zayin, from the Baal HaItur, Hashem Rabbeinu Nisim, Shekashcha Shabbos Ein Omer Bracha Me'in Sheva. Why? Sheniskana Mishvel Ma'achrim Be'Beis HaKnesses Shelo Yazikum. The whole reason it was established was to protect people. But you don't need to protect people. Seder night. Pesach night is a little shimur, but it's a night of divine protection. Ein omrim brachas me'ein sheva. The Shulchan Aruch itself paskins this way. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this as well. And tells us that Pesach night in shul, if it's a Friday night, you omit this. We don't need to say it. I'll give you another practical halacha. It's relevant to our parsha. Our parsha tells us the sacrifices that were offered in the temple were done so always. The Korban Mincha had to be done with salt, bris melach, the covenant of the salt. The role and the symbolism of salt on the table, and therefore we emulate that. We have salt on our table. We don't break bread. Most mistakenly associate this only with Shabbos, but really it's a law every time you have bread. You're supposed to dip the bread in the salt. Some say we don't do it today because our bread's recipe has within its ingredients, spices, flavor, seasoning, salt, so you don't need it today. But the truth is, strictly speaking, every time one has bread, there should be salt on the table because Bris Melach. This is the covenant of the salt. In fact, Tosfos and Brachos Daf Mem tells us, what is this covenant? It protects us even today. Rabbi Menachem Medakti Mod Lahavi Melach Al Shulchan. He would always be careful to have salt on the table. As the Medrash says, Kishishol Yosrim Al Shulchan Umamtin and Zed Zach Yitlu Yedeim Vehen Below Mitzvos HaSotan Mekatre Galeim Bris Melach Magin Aleim. Everyone washes. I'm sure this happens in your home. Everybody washes. They sit at the table. You're humming, you're singing, you're banging, you're clanking, you're trying to mouth words to communicate because there's a long list of people, please God, when you're able to have guests. It takes a long time. So in those moments, we can't be davening or learning or doing anything virtuous or meritorious. So we're vulnerable to being attacked by the sultan. What protects us? The presence of the salt on our table. That's why it's brought down by many that even during the month of Elul Tishrei, even when we dip our challah in honey, even if you're not using salt, but you still have it on the table, because the covenant of the salt protects us. Do you need salt on Seder night? Based on everything we say in Leil Shimurim, it's a night of divine protection. Do you need salt on Seder night? So, the Leket Yosher quotes, no. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha, Ein aminag l'tavlan b'melach b'layla v'shara depas naki ein tzarech melach. And on Seder night, the minag is, we don't dip the matzah in the salt. You do not need to use salt with your matzah on Seder night. So this notion of Leil Shimurim, we're living in this precarious time, this vulnerable time, this time of great threats, our enemies, our adversaries, anti-Semitism on the rise. Even through this, they're blaming this virus on us, and sadly and tragically, too many of us, too many Jews are giving them good reason to be able to point fingers, though of course it's not our fault. So we're afraid. We have enemies, physical enemies, invisible enemies, but we have a Leil Shimurim, a night of divine protection to turn to. The Otzar HaGaonim quotes from the Gaonim that Lo quotes even a tradition. Shelo linol dlosos abatam b'leil l'psachim kizosi ha'emuna b'dvabr shal ha'kodesh baruch hu v'ta ha'chaso v'shavar ha'emuna anuzochem l'geula u'bishvil ha'emuna. There was a tradition to not lock your door, to take Leil Shimurim so far that you don't have to worry. Don't set your alarm. Don't lock your door. It's a night of divine protection. God took us out and redeemed us then. He'll take us out and redeem us now. One can feel so under the cloak, the umbrella of Hashem, of God's protection, His love, His support, His guiding hand on our shoulder. You don't even have to lock your door. Now quickly, the commentary on the Otzar Gaonim jumps in to say, whoa, be careful. Shchicha Hezeka, we don't rely on this. It's a nice idea. It's a homiletical idea. But if you've got dangerous forces in your neighborhood, if you've got bad people roaming the streets, if you have people who will break in, lock the door, double lock the door, set the alarm. It's a nice idea. We don't necessarily rely on it in a case of real threat. And therefore, I want to be very clear, based on this commentary on the Otzar HaGaonim, that even in our time, nobody should say, you know, all the regulations and all the guidelines and all the laws and all the quarantining and distancing, Seder night, Leil Shimurim. We can disregard it. We're free from it. No. Shchia Chazeka. When the danger lurks, when the danger is very present, then Leil Shimurim remains a nice idea and concept. We certainly continue to turn to God in that way. But nevertheless, you better lock your door. That's what the Sefer HaManik says. If Shchia Chazeka, you can't rely on it. We do also invoke Leil Shimurim in one other case. And then we'll transition to the last section of our topic tonight. The Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Peh says the following. You know the custom that we have? There have been countless cute memes that have been going around. Memes and gifs and humor and comedy trying to lighten our spirits that have been going around. I got a cute one, in fact, that said, if you're running out of space on your phone from all the memes, just delete Waze and Google Maps because you won't be needing them for a while. You can't go anywhere. Haha, cute. wish it weren't true. So we all know, we have a custom, Seder night, we get up to Shvoch HaMascha, we get up out of our chair, or we designate someone, the one who's most awake, the one who remains the most sober, and we say, get to the door, make your way to the door, open the door. Open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi, did he wash his hands? Will Eliyahu HaNavi be wearing a hazmat suit? Is Eliyahu HaNavi going to every home? That's the opposite of social distancing that there is. Will Eliyahu HaNavi have to be tested? Will he have to affirm that he doesn't have any symptoms? Eliyahu HaNavi continue to go to every single home, and we open the door to welcome him. Where does this custom come from? Says the Ramban Shulchan Aruch, we are exhibiting, we are showing that, you know what, despite everything going on around us, we're not afraid. We open that door to say, Lil Shimurim. Ubizchus ha'emuna zo, says the Rama, in the merit of this faith, Yava Mashiach v'yishbo chamascha ala akum. May God protect us, and may God have our back. May God redeem us, and may God turn things around. And then, yachol ligmor halal, and then you finish the halal. So, shvo chamascha. We raise that cup, we sing, and we welcome Eliyahu HaNavi, we open that door. Why do we open, by the way, why do we open the door? Eliyahu HaNavi can't come down through the chimney? Eliyahu HaNavi can't come through the window? Eliyahu HaNavi, let's understand this. He's not vulnerable to coronavirus. He can be in every Jewish home simultaneously, but we have to open the door for him? He can't find another way in? Once heard a very beautiful explanation. The answer is, if you want Geula, you want redemption, you got to get up off your chair. You've got to do your part. You can't be a passive spectator and wait for Eliyahu to come to you. You've got to meet him halfway. So of course Eliyahu could come through the chimney, he could walk through walls, he can come through the window, but we've got to get up and open the door if we're going to welcome and invite him to come in. And on that night, on our Seder night, we're going to open our door. With all that's going on around the world, we're going to maintain the distance, we're going to maintain the rules and guidelines, but we're going to symbolically, by open our door, say, Hashem, we know you'll have our back, and therefore, we have nothing to fear. As the Mishnah Berurah writes here, Ein mizyaran mishum davar. We're not afraid of anything at all. Hashem, we know you're going to have our back. So the first two sections, we talked about the early commentators, the Sforno Rashi, the Ibn Ezra, the Orachayim, how they understood what it means, Lel Shimurim, that God designated this night for us. Then we saw the second section, halachic practical consequences of what that means for us. Halach Ma'anya in the Aramaic, not saying Shema on the Mita, not reciting that paragraph after the Amida Friday night on Shul if it falls on a Friday night, not having to use salt with our matzah. And then now lastly, we move to the third section. What does it mean, Lel Shimurim, for us in this particular year? So I want to share with you an amazing, amazing insight from the Ishbitzer Rebbe. In fact, I printed something. Give me half a second. The great Mei Shiloach, the Ishbitzer Rebbe, says the following. He says, you know, he gives a mashal. He gives a parable. He says, imagine a child, and you give the child $1 million. And the child, it doesn't have to be a child, it could be an adult. Somebody squanders the $1 million and they drop it as they're walking. It falls out of their pocket. They invested it poorly. They lost it. They didn't care for it. It was stolen. And in the end, the child screams out, Gavalt, I lost $1 million. I had this blessing. I had this opportunity. I had so much and it's gone. And you know what the father says to him? Don't worry, son. All along, I was walking right behind you. And every time you dropped and every time you neglected, and every time you invested, I took it out, and I collected, and I gathered, and I lifted, and I saved it, and here it is. I've been holding on to it for you. I followed you around, and even those precious things that you were willing to discard, that you neglected and therefore lost, you didn't lose them forever, because I held on to them for you. And says the Ishbitzer Rebbe, you know what it means, Alel Shimurim? I love this idea. I find it so deep and so meaningful. What it means, Alel Shimurim, for us, a night of divine protection, is that Hashem's presence is felt more intensely on Pesach night. It protects us from danger. And there are dangers that lurk all around. There's the danger we've been talking about, our enemy and our adversary on the outside, the anti-Semite, who's only rearing his or her head more. BDS, anti-Israel, anti-Zionism, anti-Semites. There's the threat and the danger that lurks, that is invisible. Coronavirus, nature at its worst. But you know, there's also the threat and the danger that comes from within. There's the danger inside us when we neglect, when we're not careful to hold on to and preserve the incredible experiences and the memories, the moments in our lives. One of the challenges of the life that we're living is it's at such speed. We're moving so quickly that life is of a fleeting nature. These precious moments, precious conversations, precious experiences, they're lost. They're dropped behind us. They're neglected. They fall out of our pocket. Time passes, and with it, we lose so much of our lives that rapidly become history. One of the blessings, or the opportunities, as much as we're going through a crisis right now, there's also an opportunity, is that we are leaning into those moments. How many of us are spending so much more time with our family than we ever did because of the opportunity to be running around? Life has slowed down in many ways, as much as it remains incredibly quick. And so many of us, we suffer and we struggle from this notion that we lose and we forget so many of the blessings of our lives. I'll tell you, there's an amazing, a very interesting disease that's called SDAM, STAM. SDAM. It stands for Severely Deficient Autobiographical Memory. Wired magazine had an article a couple years ago about a woman who had this rare disorder. SDAM, STAM. Severely Deficient Autobiographical Memory. You know, there's only three people in the whole world who've been diagnosed with the condition. And the condition is you don't remember a single experience from your life. And they did a profile about this woman, Susie McKinnon, who was one of the three people who has the condition. She doesn't remember anything. She has an inability, no capacity to retain any memory of her own life. All she knows about her own life are things that others have told her. And yet, somehow, she functions normally in society. She has a job, she's married, she has a personality. And in fact, she describes that until she was 21 years old, she didn't even realize she was different from others. Now, she doesn't ever remember experiencing pain. That's the good news. She doesn't remember a hurtful word anyone's ever said. But she also can't remember her own wedding. She doesn't remember her birthday. She doesn't remember the positives. She lacks autobiographical memory. She can't visualize anything in her life, which means she also struggles to be able to dream for the future. Memory for her is just a collection of facts that other people have told her. Now, Baruch Hashem, my dear friends, we don't suffer from SDAM, from severely disoriented memory, deficient autobiographical memory. We don't have this condition. We're not one of these three, I hope and I pray. But we too struggle to hold on to what happens in our lives. Life is so fast-paced and so chaotic that yesterday's incredible experience is quickly forgotten. Today's amazing conversation or moment will be gone by tomorrow. It's so hard to hold on to those feelings. It's so hard to hold on to those experiences and those memories. Pesach says the Ishbitz Rebbe is a lel shimurim. It's a reservoir of lost things. Pesach's a time we turn history into active memory. We recover those lost feelings, thoughts, emotions, relationships, and experience. We reclaim what was lost. We reconnect with what we thought was gone forever. Like the mashal, like the parable of the child who squanders that money, who drops it and loses it, but is followed by his father who collects it and gathers it and gives it back all year long. We've dropped these special and precious moments, but Hashem has been closely following behind. He's been collecting them. And Leil Shimurim means that Pesach night, he takes this collection and he hands it to us. We are going through a difficult, difficult crisis, but you know, there are blessings, there are opportunities laced within. The beautiful chesed that we're seeing, the incredible conversations, the time that we're with one another, the opportunity to daven, to learn, to light up our own homes as we transform them into small shuls and batei medrash. And you know, one of my big fears, one of my big concerns is when this is over, what will we take with us and what will go back to exactly the way it was? We started last night a coffee talk, Rabbi Moskowitz, Rabbi Brody and me, and I think we're going to continue it on Wednesday nights. And I gave the question for next week for them to think about. We're going to open with the challenge. What that is happening now, what radical change is going on right now? What do we hope will last? What do we hope won't last? And what do we wish will last, but we're afraid it won't? And there's a lot of changes. Technology, the ability to remote learning, remote working, time with family. There's a lot of things that have changed. What will last and what won't? But one of my big fears is that the blessings and the beauty and the time we spent one another, the transformation within our own homes and lives, having to not rely on a shul or community, but do it for ourselves, will that last? Leil Shimurim means Hashem holds on to it. We tap back into it. We reconnect and we rediscover and we go back to, we reclaim what we thought was lost. We reconnect with what we thought was gone. We revive it and we bring it back. It's a Leil Shimurim. For some, this experience has brought out the best. For others, it's brought out the worst. But you know, we have the ability to dig deep and to take out Leil Shimurim. Hashem has been holding on to our best moments. We can relive them. We can prolong them. We can make them last longer. And lastly, I want to share with you an insight of the Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein, who, interestingly, the name of his Haggadah, his commentary on the Haggadah, the name of it is the Leil Shimurim, Haggadah's Leil Shimurim. And in it, he wonders the following. We're all familiar with the story in the Haggadah of the sages who gather at night in Bnei Brak, and they're so busy telling the story of the exodus of freedom, of God's miracles, His providence, His hand in our lives. They're so lost in telling that story, and they expand on the story so much that they have to be interrupted and reminded that the sun is risen and it's time to say Shema in the morning. And the Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Epstein, wonders, Yesh le hizbonin b'zeh. Rabbi Eliezer ha'isa dirasa b'lud. One of our great rabbis lives in Lud, and one lives in Pekin, and one lives here, one lives there. What are they doing in Bnei Brak? Why specifically did they gather in Bnei Brak and listen to what he says? You know why they went to Bnei Brak? Because who lived in Bnei Brak? Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva, we know, is the eternal optimist of the Jewish people. When others see destruction, a fox walking in the Temple Mount, and they cry, Rabbi Akiva laughs because he sees the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecy that will be redeemed yet again. Rabbi Akiva's entire life are stories of his unending, boundless optimism, faith, hope, his desire to look at the glasses half full, not half empty, his belief that things will yet get better. And therefore, these sages gather. Why? It's the time of the Roman persecution. It's a very bleak, dark time. There's a lot of reason to be hopeless and helpless. So where do they gather? In Bnei Brak. Because they all need a healthy dose of Rabbi Akiva in their lives. They all need to tap into the individual who is the beacon of hope, of light, who reminds them that no matter how things look right now, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, has our back, they can and they will get better. And that's why they find themselves, of all places, where? In Bnei Brak. They tap into and they channel their inner Rabbi Akiva. And my dear friends, we and our children and our family and our neighbors and our community need all of us to tap into and channel our inner Rabbi Akiva. We need to discover that sense of optimism and hope. Enough with the negativity, enough with the pessimism, enough with the hopelessness. But rather, we have to believe that collectively, by working together and by collaborating together, by observing the rules and regulations together, by turning our faith into Hashem together, by living and invoking the image and the energy of Rabbi Akiva, that glass, seeing it as half full with faith, optimism, and hope, knowing that we've come so far and we were able to not only survive but thrive, the same will be true on the other end of this. This Leil Shimurim, this night of faith, should remind us to turn the corners of our mouth up to smile. And that our home should, the word coronavirus, COVID, shouldn't even appear on Pesach, shouldn't be at the Seder table. This is a night of eternal hope and optimism. It's a Leil Shimurim. God has been safeguarding and waiting for us, and we are safeguarding and waiting for Him. And please God, in that merit of getting up off the chair to open the door, that display of faith in the Almighty, that we will welcome Eliyahu HaNavi, the harbinger of good things, that please God, we will all find only good health, safety, security, and peace, and please God welcome the ultimate redemption. B'mehera v'yameinu. Thank you so much for joining.